Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.
On a personal basis, I'm a strong supporter of women bishops. I'm very sad about the way the vote went yesterday, and I'm particularly sad for the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, because I know that he saw this as a major campaign that he wanted to achieve at the end of his excellent tenure of that office. I think it's important for the Church of England to be a modern church in touch with society as it is today, and this was a key step they needed to take.
Prime Minister David Cameron of the United Kingdom speaking to Parliament, his disappointment over the failure of the Church of England to approve the consecration of female bishops. That's a recent story. And of course, it seems that the consensus from the political realm in the UK, perhaps even the religious realm in the UK, is that this was unexpected. They wanted this to happen. The general population, the faithful in the Church of England, wanted this to happen, and they're kind of shocked that it didn't. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Back live this Monday afternoon, November the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bishop Keith Ackerman of Forward in Faith is going to join us for the first few minutes, get his reaction to the decision by the Church of England not to consecrate female bishops. Dr. Robert Gagnon joins us after that. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. We're going to talk about the trial of a Reformed Church Reformed Church of America pastor who performed a same-sex wedding for his daughter and was removed. He subsequently apologized and was allowed to serve as a pastor, but apparently it has started a bit of a movement in the Reformed Church in America for the performance of same-sex marriage. But the argument being made by this pastor is he finds nothing in Scripture that speaks to the lifelong, committed, loving relationships like we see among same-sex couples here in America today. Nothing speaking against that in Scripture whatsoever. We'll get Dr. Robert Gagnon's response to that. Dr. Michael New joins us to talk about a turnaway study on abortion and poverty, and then in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us. We'll remember Old Testament patriarch and saint Noah. A lot of misunderstanding there about Noah, and we'll try and clear it up in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Bishop Keith Ackerman is a regular guest. He's a former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, and president of an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It is always a pleasure. Thank you so much, my friend.
I have a hard time reading the consensus on this. What do you think represents the consensus? The failure of the Church of England to consecrate female bishops, or what we heard from David Cameron, the disappointment in the failure to do so?
That's an intriguing question, and the reason it's intriguing is because of the fact that it is a multifaceted question. That is to say, in the States, we are accustomed to dealing with multi-denominationalism. In England, they may have multiculturalism, but it is still a state church. And what we're really looking at is the way in which one looks at a state church. That is, would it be prudent for the state to go with what the trends of the culture are? Answer, yes, that's certainly, that would be a prudent reality. But it's as if the state seems to control the church to such an extent that the church, therefore, when she speaks out in a biblical and a theological way, is misunderstood. I was interviewed by BBC on this just the other night, and they said, don't you see that the church is out of step? And I said, absolutely it's out of step, and I hope it will always be out of step with the culture. It is the case that it is not the culture that converts the church. It is that the church is to convert the culture.
All right, then what is the current state of the issue? I understand that the Church of England, as the Church of England, that is that particular sector of worldwide Anglicanism, does permit the ordination of women to be priests in the Anglican Church. What's the issue with bishops?
It's again, an intriguing question. It would seem logical, that is, if one holds to the idea of a threefold ministry of deacon, priest, and bishop, that one would conclude that if a woman can be ordained to one, then she can be ordained to all three. That would be what I would call the more Catholic understanding. It's interesting that those who take a much more evangelical point of view separate their understanding of episcopate from priesthood. And they say, yes, but what about the headship issue? To put it differently, there are some extreme evangelicals who would say that a woman could be ordained as a priest as long as she's not a rector, but a woman could not be ordained and consecrated as a bishop because she would automatically achieve headship.
Now, I would take the view, and it's probably far more simplistic than that that's being entertained by the Church of England, that she ought not to have the priesthood either. That Scripture would prohibit, for whatever reason, women from exercising the office of the ministry, as I would put it in kind of Lutheran parlance there. It's a settled question in the Church Catholic. It has been for a long time. And there's no need to argue about it. What's your position there?
Mine is exactly the same as yours. I can't understand. It's, once again, an issue between an evolutionary view of theology and a revelational. That is it a revelation God has given to us? Has he revealed to us through his holy word and through holy tradition what it is that is to be? And the problem here is the people today oftentimes misuse the word tradition. It's traditio. And if one thinks very specifically about it, looking at it from the Greek, palabra, I mean, that which is handed down. In fact, I've oftentimes said that the real phobia in the church today among many people is paralabophobia, which is an irrational fear of tradition.
Okay, so do you think, with respect to the outgoing Archbishop of Canterbury, we heard there from David Cameron saying, well, I'm really disappointed for him, I feel terrible for him, because I think it was one of the things he wanted to achieve before he left that office. Is that true?
He's of two minds on the matter. His roots in the church in Wales are very Catholic. That is very much of the Anglo-Catholic tradition. Pragmatically, he recognizes that trying to hold that church together in England might mean having to have women consecrated just because of the volatile nature of what's happening in the Church of England. However, their pragmatic point of view, and this even comes from some of the conservatives, is, okay, if you're going to do it, then at least allow for conscientious objection. Allow an honored place for those who do not conclude that women can be consecrated as bishops. The real issue was that safety net, that feature was not being provided. Plus, they looked at the American church, and they discovered what happened. There was no room left in the American Episcopal Church for conscientious objectors. You either had to subscribe to it or you're out. And to speak of Lutherans, look at the Swedish Lutheran Church, where now they even have a quota system in Sweden, in the state, what had been the state church, as to how many women serve the quota in the terms of percentage of men being ordained and serving.
Do you think that that view toward the Episcopal Church, toward the Swedish situation, might have stayed the hands of some who otherwise might have said, oh, let's just go ahead and consecrate women bishops?
I think it's certainly what happened with the laity, because if we look very carefully, they're dealing with a tricameral situation. So the bishops pragmatically voted for it. The priests, the clergy, that would be priests and deacons, seem to have voted for it. But the laity said no, and that's because I think oftentimes the laity really understand when something isn't quite right. That is to say, they're standing back and they're looking. This is a shrinking church. In fact, it's interesting to note, Todd, the only provinces in the Anglican Communion who ordain women are the shrinking ones.
Do you think that they also thought about the long-term consequences, and that is, with respect to the American situation, the Episcopal Church first ordained women, then consecrated women as bishops, then ordained active homosexuals, then consecrated active homosexuals as bishops. Do you think that some of that calculus might have been part
of it here? Oh, yeah, especially with the laity, Todd. I'm absolutely convinced that the laity have seen it that way. Here's the other thing that I believe we have to be aware of. A lot of us stand back and we look at Church of England and we say Mother Church of the Worldwide Anglican Communion. The average Englishman just thinks of it as being the Church of England and doesn't think of it in terms of the role that it has in the entire Anglican Communion. That being said, the average Englishman doesn't recognize that had this measure gone through right now, the schism that is going to inevitably take place with the Global South would have been a sealed deal. But now this vote allows for the potential for some reconciliation between the Church of England and the Global South. But it gets a little more complex, and that's because it's the fear of some senior church officials that this whole matter of the consecration of women will be taken away from the church and go to Parliament. Parliament will then vote on it, and that could conceivably take place as early as 2014-2015. And again, that's because in the Church of England, bishops, some bishops, those of historic see, have automatic seat and voice and vote in Parliament. So this isn't just a matter of who you see at the altar on Sunday. It's who you see sitting at the bench when Parliament's in session.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is the former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois. He is president of an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith, and we'll post a link to Forward in Faith under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bishop Ackerman, thank you very much for being our guest, and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much. God bless you, and a happy early Advent to you and to all the listeners.
And to you. When we come back, we're going to talk about the trial of a Reformed Church in America pastor who, at his daughter's request — his daughter was a lesbian in a relationship — performed a same-sex wedding there. He was tried for the first time in that church's history, and he claims that Scripture says nothing of the kind of relationship that he consecrated in marriage in answer to his daughter's request. We'll see what Dr. Robert Gagnon has to say after this. Folks, there are 5 weeks left in 2012, and we're $63,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations: Edwardsville, 618-656-0500, Shiloh, 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur, 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.